Though, a very important time every Friday is the Friday Forum with Dean Lester and Nick Quinn. Dean, good morning and welcome back.
Yes, morning, Maisie.
Have you are you at Macca's? What's your staple go-to? Or are you not a Macca's man?
No, I'll join in Macca's. Was it the choice of the nuggets or the apple pie?
Yeah, or you can bring something else to the table if you want.
I'm pretty line and length, probably a Big Mac usually.
All right, fair enough.
I'll tell you what, the fillet of fish.
Yeah, it's a good little
side one. It's underrated. It's a great survivor.
Really?
I think it's just been on the edge of the menu for years, but it just keeps going.
It does. I don't know how. Why would you go to Macca's and order fish? Surely you've got a local fish and chip shop you could go to, Steve-O.
No. The fillet, it's a late night, it's all a tartare. There's so much tartare on it and that soft, warm bun that it's a great late night snack. And have they still got the cookies?
I don't know.
They do.
Do the little Ronald McDonald cookies?
They definitely have the cookies. They're pretty cheap too.
Morning, Quinny.
Hello, Maisie.
Did you get Macca's on your way in this morning?
I felt sorry. If I had time, I would have bought you a breakfast from Macca's after describing it as a deprived childhood for those that grew up in the 70s. Yeah. And Steve-O looks pretty offended by that.
Well,
he said you had a deprived childhood.
Well, he did. No breakfast at Macca's growing up.
He can't believe that there was a Macca's pre-breakfast.
No, couldn't believe that.
And nuggets. There was life pre-nuggets, you know that. They were invented
not in my
about,
lifetime at Macca's.
Invented in about 1983, I would have thought.
Okay. When did the 30-cent cone come in?
That was a lot later. I think it was about 2000.
Oh, no. It was definitely in the 90s. It was definitely around
I remember
in
Shepherd
school.
And it was big up there. KFC invented the chicken fillet burger. My God, how good was that? It was in about 83.
For such a lean, fit bloke, you know a hell of a lot about fast food.
Mate, we grew up in the Goulburn Valley. It's a fast food capital. Everyone up in Shepherd there, you know that. It's also the fruit capital, but it was a KFC. The fruit bowl of Australia. Plus the junk food capital of the world.
Right, yeah. Let's straighten up. Let's get on to the racing tomorrow at Flemington. Big card coming up. Looking forward to this as we head towards autumn.
Yeah, it's obviously big racing at the moment. And Dino, you know, we've got great racing tomorrow at Flemington and you'd be coming off a good, you know, 12 or 15 hours sleep going into the show today, wouldn't you?
About 2.5.
What happened? Sorry.
I want to thank Ray at the tennis because for those that know me quite well, I use a mobility scooter and just coming out of Rod Laver Arena out of the lift and I blew a tyre. So I literally got to see them clean every part of Melbourne Park. Whilst they took my scooter and found a compressor and fixed the tyre. I don't know how they did, but so I got to see, had a chat with Boris. He was there waiting to do some TV.
Boris Becker.
Yes. So high five with Boris.
He just stepped out of a cupboard.
He did. It was quite remarkable.
Unbelievable.
But was there any collateral damage?
No, it's all right.
Did you get recognised? Please say you did.
Well, only by a couple of...
Boris.
Well, Boris and I were close. McEnroe wasn't that keen to say good day, but I saw a few of the cameramen leaving, a few of the cleaners I knew from Caulfield, they were there. Yeah, so it was... it's an interesting place at about 145 Melbourne Park.
How's the food per diems going down there? Obviously, you get your $25, which Adam White, he tended to turn up the tennis just for that, to get his $25 lunch. Is that still happening?
No, I didn't get into the press part, Steve-O, so...
It is still happening. 20 bucks you get nowadays, which doesn't buy you a lot in 2019, unfortunately.
You go to Nobu or Rockpool.
No. Was Boris wearing his gold suit that we've seen him don a couple of times at Wimbledon?
No, he was in white denim. It was quite a look.
What, double denim?
Yeah.
Top and bottom?
Wow.
With his white hair, it's quite a look. It's a scene.
Dean. I just would have paid so much money for a photo of you two.
Were they skinny jeans with the stretch?
Skinny.
Oh. Right. Still living like he's 21, Boris.
Don't worry. Yeah, he was.
Was he pumped for the Flemington card tomorrow?
Yeah, he said he wants to get the quaddie while he's in town.
Magnificent. Let's start with race number six. The Australian Cup's Noms Close. That is the name of the race. 1,400 metres, and that is the start of the quaddy. What are we looking at here, Dean? Obviously, Mount Kilcoy resumes and was pretty good last preparation.
Yeah, I think he's a really smart horse. He'll be better over further, but he looks to have trialled up okay, Mount Kilcoy. I'll be certainly including him. Mastering, he got the job done last start. They've taken the blinkers off him here, hoping to maybe just settle a bit more, and I think that's probably a good move. I think he's a good winning chance, and I think he's probably the starting point. But certainly, as I said, I'll be including Mount Kilcoy. And others, I think, worth a little bit of consideration. Six, Ribeye, who does race well fresh. Got Damien Oliver aboard. Seven, Kid Ching's got a lot better barrier than it had last start at Caulfield, and I think can improve sharply. They're probably the next two, and Set the Sparkle won here last week, but it's probably up a little bit in grade. But I think Mastering's the one to beat, but certainly the wildcard Mount Kilcoy. So 4-11, 6 and 7, I think, are probably the main runners.
So you're tipping Mastering, but maybe not as bullish as last start?
Definitely not as bullish. I think he had a good run from that draw. He's got a wider draw here, and with the blinkers going off, they're probably trying to just settle him a little bit. And, from 11, he could just get in an awkward spot. But, he's a progressive enough horse.
What are the markets looking like here, Quinny?
There's been money for numbers 4 and 11. The 4 Mastering heads the betting at 290. Mount Kilcoy has been a firmer 7 into 6.
Let's head to race 7 now. The Kensington Stakes over 1,000 metres. Champagne Cuddles obviously leading the market here pretty comfortably. Is that the way you're leaning in this one, Dean?
She's the class runner. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Interesting. I don't think she's carried more than about 55 kilos in a race in her career, and all of a sudden she's here against some handy sprinters without going over the top with 59.5 kilos. I think she's a good winning chance. I think I'm a bit with the devil I know in Thermal Current. I know he gets down the straight very well. I know he carries weight well, and I just think he's at good odds. But they're the two main chances. If you're going wider, Glenall's a horse I've always had a lot of time for, and I'd be putting him in. But I'm going fairly narrow in this leg of the quaddy. I think numbers 1, 2 and 5 probably cover it for me.
Is that how we're looking with the markets as well, Quinny?
Well, Thermal Current's a $6.50 chance, and sounds like Dino pretty confident about that. Champagne Cuddles has been the best backed runner at $2.10, Glenall at $3.90. And Champagne Cuddles, she's nominated for the All-Star Mole. Do you think that's maybe why she's having a look up the Flemington Straight first up?
Oh, well, I heard Bjorn Baker yesterday mention that all options are open. I mean, there's races like the Lightning and the Newmarket if she handles the straight well, but if not, if they want to get out over further, of course, the All-Star Mile, and with the voting starting then in the next couple of days, I think all horses will be looked at and wanting to push their case forward, especially your mate.
We'll get to that in a second. What do you think her pet distance will be, though? Because she does look like one of those runners that could potentially improve over more ground, or might be very good sort of over the shorter, sharper trips.
Yeah, I reckon about 1,400 is a really good trip for her. Hence, she was well in the betting in a Stradbroke and those sort of races. So I think she's good enough to win tomorrow, there's no doubt about that, but you would think she wouldn't be wound up if the All-Star Mile and those sort of races, which are 6 and 8 weeks away, are on the cards.
Speaking of that, Tom Melbourne, give us the latest.
Well, did trial very impressively the other day with Damien Oliver in the saddle, and I've just got a horrible feeling, Dino, that punters are going to take the mickey and nominate this horse for the All-Star Mile.
Well, you'll be voting for him.
Oh, yes.
I want him nowhere near. He should be barred from Flemington.
I reckon Trent will vote for him just out of spite for you.
My nemesis.
He wants your Friday gig.
He does. He'd jump in my grave very quickly, wouldn't he?
Well, you'll sing, you'll do a lot of things that you haven't done.
He's a man of many talents.
Yeah, song and dance man and odds man.
And very much a hot beverage man, which are missing this morning. Now to race 8, the Battaglia Handicap, over 1,800 metres, benchmark 84. A little bit more open this race, Dean. Where are you leaning towards here?
Yeah, no, right down the bottom's the key runner. I think Lure Me In is the really good starting point. He should have won, probably could have won his last three. He certainly should have gone very close at Caulfield on Boxing Day, and then had a lot to do last time out. The big key here is that he's dropping in weight, he gets a senior rider on, and he gets a good barrier draw. He won't have to go right back to last. I'd imagine he'll settle midfield, and from there it'll make his job a lot easier. I think Five Kingdoms having a fantastic start to his career. He's had seven starts, four wins, three placings, so he's doing a great job. I think he's the main danger. And I think Kentucky Breeze can improve. I think back a little bit in trip, Damian Lane aboard can get a great run from the draw. I think they're the three principal chances for me, but very keen on Lure Me In. I think he's one of the better bets of the day.
All righty.
You've seen a lot of morals beaten over the years, Dino. 10 being Vandercross, 1 being a little bit unlucky. Where would you have rated Lure Me In on New Year's Day?
Solid 9.5.
Yeah. Should have absolutely bolted in and has been well back from 270 into 230 to bounce back.
Alrighty, so it's still leading the market there. To finish as well, the Victorian owner Gold Card over 1,200 metres to finish the day. A sprint home at Flemington. Which way are you looking here, Dean?
This is a terrific sprint race. It's in restricted grade, benchmark 84, but I think you can make a case for five or six. I think the main ones will be Order of Command was essentially disappointing last week, but he was up in grade and things didn't work out. Now, whether Barrier 1 down the straight is going to work out for him again, that's the query. I think Atlantic City's the good one at odds that can improve. I think he placed in this race last year. I think he'll be fitter for his first up run. Streets of Avalon 7 was a terrific run at Caulfield. 11 Intuition won well. Ran well for second up in Sydney, and James Cummings is just doing this so well, picking the right races to bring these horses down. Exaltara, number 12, is my top pick. I think had no luck at all at Caulfield and has been going very well in this grade. And Langrose, very much in the betting, comes off a good first up run, number 15, and form around him is very good. So I think you've got to probably include nearly the majority of those, but I've got a slight leaning to Exaltara.
Exaltara has been 6 out to 8.50. Do we take the 8.50 now or maybe keep our powder dry and hope the drift continues?
Yeah, I hope the drift continues. There seems to be good support for others, but he's just a bit of a constant in this grade and he was totally luckless at Caulfield.
Now, the most important time of the morning, Dean, the formula bet before we let you go on this Friday. Who's your contestant today?
It is Simon Nabbs of Craigieburn. And for Simon, we are having $40 the win, race 2, number 2, Lycurgus. $40 the win, race 8, number 13, Lure Me In. And $40 on the all-up of the pair, race 2, number 2, into race 8, number 13. And that was for Simon Nabbs of Craigieburn.
And that gets us a nice $4.20, so a lovely way to build a bank on a Saturday.
Well, definitely better than what you can offer, that's for sure, with your tipping. Dean, thanks for your time this morning. I'm glad that tyre's okay, and we'll see how the races.
Well, I'm going to sleep, so okay.
Enjoy the rest. Right, Dean Lester, you'll hear him on RSN 927 throughout the next couple of days, of course, previewing and reviewing all the racing. Quinny, have you got a coffee bet for us?
I've got a horse to follow at Camperdown tomorrow.
Seriously, how...
A first starter.
How far do you go from the mainstay, Flemington, Caulfield and the Valley?
Now, guess this horse's name. The dad or the sire, All Too Hard. The mum or the damn Miss Bucks.
I don't want to guess.
The horse is named Tomic.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad at all. Can you get me a coffee, Quinny?
Oh, no, please, no, thank you. You're the fast food king.
No, you've been unbelievable, but you did promise coffee at 7 a.m.
Flattery will get you far.
You know when you build yourself up for a coffee and then the guy that was supposed to deliver them doesn't provide?
Well, you never know. There could be one right around the corner for you, Steve-O. After this, we're going to catch up with Taylor Giray. You won't need any coffee because he's now...
I'm up and about now.
You will be up and about in 5 minutes' time.